Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's good to see you. I tell you, y'all look good out there today. A pretty day the Lord's given us. Nice sunshiny day. The weekend's been looking good, hasn't it?
Amen.
The Lord is mighty good to us. We want to thank Him today as we come to worship. Let's look at some announcements. They're listed in the bulletin Mondays on 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Lap Project, support the veterans. And I tell you, God has been so good to us and blessed us with everything that we need. It's hard to imagine there are people who don't have food to eat, isn't it? Children that don't have homes. But this month we've been focusing on helping people in our community. The Change for Children campaign at the college, we'll be collecting those funds today to help children have clothes and education, a place to live. Great opportunity God has given to us. Also to help the Mary's Soup Kitchen. But if you forgot your donation, you can still bring it, and we'll still be sure to get it to these ministries.
Joe, can I say something?
Yes, come on.
So going to take the food on Tuesday. This is World Hunger Day, so that's the day they're going to have some volunteers in place at the soup kitchen. So if you haven't brought it, you'll bring it here before Tuesday or drop it off after 5:30 at the soup kitchen.
On Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
On Tuesday, if you would like to go see the soup kitchen, it's just been redone. Drop your food off after 5 p.m. on Tuesday. If not, get it here to church and we'll see it gets there. We're blessed to live in a country that devotes an entire day to all of the men and women who have lost their lives serving in the U.S. military.
Amen.
Tomorrow's Memorial Day, to take advantage of that day to honor all of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Choir practice 6:30 on the 29th, Saturday, June the 1st, the Deep Run meeting, alumni meeting at King's, 1 o'clock. Bible study on Thursday, June the 6th. And June the 9th, we're going to have Ladies Auxiliary Fundraiser Lunch, and following the worship service, the usher acolyte training will take place for those of you that are involved in that. Relay for Life coming on the 14th at 6 p.m. Another way that we can give to support a worthy cause, the Relay for Life and helping with cancer research. Deacons meeting June 18th at 6, and then on the 29th at 6, the Deep Run Independence Parade. You can say yay. All right. All right. Sunday, July the 14th at 5, official board meeting. This is for all members of our boards and committees. And then Sunday the 21st at 5, business meeting. Do we have any other announcements? That was a lot. All right, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Together, let's read the responsive reading together, listed in the bulletin. People of God, open your eyes, look around.
The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is here, among us and within us.
God's salvation is close at hand, nearer than you know.
So let us open our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit, and let's worship God together.
Father God, I honor your name. I honor Jesus and your precious Holy Spirit. I ask that you would just flood our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit that gives life, freedom, salvation, and hope to all who believe. May we worship you in a spirit of truth and understanding, be led and fed to be the people of God you created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to page 90. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You. You may be seated. Dennis Hill has our scriptures this morning.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 28. To you, Lord, I call, you are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back on them what they deserve. Because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. The New Testament is Romans 8, 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Continue to worship as I pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember? as we pray.
Pray for Kirby Page and Karen Page, that father and daughter, they both had cancer. But my daughter has had some follow-up studies on her breast cancer, and they say it's well encapsulated. They've done MRIs on the rest of her body, and they cannot find any source. So they're hoping once they get this, it's all over.
Amen.
Amen.
Any others?
D.D. Sims.
D.D. Sims, okay.
Joanna Collins.
Okay. Any others?
Lee Smith.
Yes. Any others? Let's pray together. Remember these needs. On the back of your bulletin, there's a list of names. As you pray every day, lift them up to the Lord. And pray for one another.
Amen.
All right. Let's take time to pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we call upon you at this time, Father. There's no greater word that follows through my lips, Father, than calling your name and your spirit connected to this body. God, I thank you so much for that. That's the highest of the highest you've ever put upon me. Father, we're in need in a deep run. We're in deep need right now. I've contemplated, I've talked with you, I've asked. But as all of us, we want your will. Father, this church is in need. You have moved through this church in the last few months. When your name is mentioned, there's a different look in eyes. There's a different tear, Father, that runs down these faces. There's a difference. Thank you, God. You've heard of the cancer that's moving through these families. Thank you so much that you've caught some in time, Father. I truly thank you for that. This Smith family, I just can't get them off of my mind. Is it over, Father? Is this your will? I'll give up just as I told you, whatever I'm to give up. And as they said, send me. If there's any more to be done, I'm asking in front of everybody. But if this is your will, we're going to accept. Because I truly believe that there's better to come. This is the battle. To you is the goal. Father, I ask as this service moves on, you continue to touch Joe, that he releases more and more as he's going, Father. He's stepping out, Father, that we've heard. He's told us that we're to have the mind just as you have, Father. It's attainable if we're just humble now. I thank you for that, God. I thank you for the love that you have for this little small town that we call home. You call it part of your creation. Thank you so much, Father. Please be with those families. And those that fell to the side, Father, please just be with them and to be with us that we can reach down and touch them in the green and bring them back so they can feel your presence, God. I've seen it happen as I moved through our town. I'm always looking for that one, that word, Father, to lay upon me that I can give to them. Sometimes they look at me as being a little hard, but because I love them. Well, we ask all this in your holy and precious name, Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 611. We're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of He Hideth My Soul.
Amen. May be seated.
Thank you.
stand for the doxology, please. You may be seated. Today we're continuing with our series, Good News for the Not So Good, and I'm so thankful that God has good news for the not so good, aren't you?
Amen.
Today our thought is give yourself room to grow, and I'm not talking about going to the buffet when we leave here. But if there is one buffet we need to feed on continually, it's the buffet that Christ offers us. Amen?
Amen.
So we're continuing in 1 Corinthians. Today we'll look at chapter 3, and the verses are 1 through 9 we'll be referring to. I encourage you to read this over and over throughout the week as we go through the book, because a lot of things there that we can learn as a church and as people of God. If you remember in chapter 2, Paul made a distinction between two kinds of people. He talked about the natural man, and he talked about the spiritual man, the person without the Spirit and the person with the Spirit. One is lost, one is saved. In chapter 3, Paul makes a further distinction between the two groups of people. There's a distinction among those who have already experienced new life in Jesus Christ, but they're not in the same place spiritually. Where I work on the job, most of my life I've been training young men to be technicians to work on equipment. And when they come in, some are a little further along than the other. You understand what I'm saying? Some can feed on knowledge and move along themselves. Others, you kind of have to kind of prod them along a little bit, you know. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here. There's this one group is moving on to maturity, growing into faith, and doing the kingdom work that's lasting for all eternity. And, you know, people are being touched and being saved, and everything they are doing is about leading people to Jesus, and it's happening. But then there's this other group that aren't. Both are believers. While one is thriving in their walk of faith, the other is floundering and are ineffective for the work of the kingdom. So in the beginning of chapter 3, Paul addresses this group of flounderers. And I'm not talking about the fish either. He addresses this group, which appears to make up the majority of the members in the church there in Corinth. He said in verse 2, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. Now, I'd hate to receive a letter like that, wouldn't you? From the Apostle Paul, or even from Christ himself. You open the letter, I can't address you as spiritual. But that's what Paul wrote to him. He said, I can address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Childish. Paul uses the word worldly. And as a young believer in the 70s, we were always told we knew what a worldly Christian was. They listened to secular music. They went to the movies. They wore stylish clothes. They had long hair. You know the drill. It was mostly about appearance on the outside. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. The word worldly is translated sarkanos, and it means literally fleshly, of the flesh, or as the King James uses the Latin word carnal. In verse 4, the word is translated as being a mere man, or a mere human. In other words, it's the exact opposite of being spiritual. It refers to a certain kind of attitude and behavior that prevents believers from maturing and becoming just like Jesus Christ. And Paul tells the Corinthians that since they are still like infants in the flesh, he had wanted to give them some good food, but he was having to give them the spiritual equivalent of milk because they were not ready for steak. Now, Paul speaks quite directly to the Corinthians, telling them, church, you're not where you ought to be. You're not nearly as far along as you think you are. And he also tells them, it's your own fault. You're doing this to yourself, he says. He tells them that they are sabotaging their own spiritual growth. Now, how are they doing this? Paul says in verse 3, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? You see, there were a number of divisions in the Corinthian church. And each of those divisions were associated with a different leader in the church. There was Paul and Apollos and Cephas and even Christ. And each group tended to look down on the others. And it was causing a lot of conflict, as you could imagine. And so what Paul is saying here is, you can't move to the next level of spiritual growth until you leave this pettiness and this petulance behind and begin to act like, for a better word, grown-ups. Now, it's difficult to preach a sermon on a passage like this in a church like ours because we don't experience this same kind of disunity and division that was common in Corinth. And I tell you, that makes me happy. Amen? But still, I can't read a passage like this one without thinking, Joe, how do you apply these verses to yourself individually? I have to ask myself, are there areas in my life in which I'm being petty and petulant? Am I doing things or saying things that can cause division in the body of Christ? Am I holding myself back from the growth that God intends for me? Am I demanding my own way? Do I pout when I don't get what I want? Is my spiritual life stunted? I believe every Christian needs to ask themselves these questions. Every church needs to ask themselves these very questions. Are there areas in which we are small-minded? Are there areas in which we are holding ourselves back, which really causes us to hold others back? Because we're one body in Christ, and everyone is needed in order to be unified. Now, these sinful attitudes that stood in the way of unity and growth among the Corinthian church, I want us to look at just three things briefly that we can do to be sure that we're not behaving, as Paul would say, as mere humans or worldly. Because you know who takes note when we act worldly? The world. Huh? And we're supposed to be the light of the world. Amen? Amen. And whose light are we supposed to be shining? God, Jesus. Yeah, not our light. Okay? We're supposed to be shining His light. So I'm going to think about three things we need to do to be sure. And these things will apply to our personal life, our work life, family life, social life, church life, just life. Three things we need to make sure that we make room to grow, huh? To let God grow us in our spiritual life and avoid the trap of holding ourselves back. The first thing, let's make every effort to move away from any kind of petty conflict. The theological differences between Paul, Apollos, and Cephas probably didn't amount to that much. Maybe one had a different style or a different approach or a different emphasis. Maybe even some minor differences in their theology. Since none of these men were not infallible. They were not without sin. But I believe they were, for the most part, on the same page theologically. I believe they all loved Jesus. And I believe they were trying to do his work. And yet their followers found a minor difference and used it to create a major quarrel among themselves. Now, I know y'all have never seen that happen before. You know, and that quarrel among themselves, it became the point that they were unable to function as a loving Christian fellowship. They were unable to not only not love themselves, but to love others and reach others. And that's a problem. We need to make sure that we're not guilty of the same thing. The devil loves to use that trap. And he loves to get us at one another, pointing the finger and judging one another. Divide and conquer, huh? Divide and conquer. There's strength in unity. And that's why Christ calls us to be of one heart and one mind. Part of being a spiritual grown-up is being able to accept the idea that someone at some point in time may have a different opinion than mine. And that's okay, because we don't always have to be right about everything all the time. Did you hear that? That's easy, isn't it? Not being right about everything all the time. Huh? It reminds me of two families. One family is prone to disagree with the other one on life's most important topics. Religion, politics, and football. And when they're together, they're often engaged in a spirited debate on these topics. Sometimes you'll hear one of them say, "Well, how could you think that? Are you out of your mind?" And sometimes you'll hear, "You know, that's a pretty good point. I've never thought of it that way." And there's a lot of laughter and there's a lot of love when they get together in the room. A lot of sharing. And then there's the other family that's much different. They all attend the same kind of church. They support the same kind of political candidate. And they root for the same team. And you dare not say anything that might challenge any notion that everyone in the group holds dear. Example, you can talk about politics as long as you talk about their politics. But if you say the wrong thing, they'll cut you off. We don't need to talk about that no more. Now let me ask you, which of these two groups would you say best embodies a spiritual, mature culture of unity? Being of one mind doesn't mean that everyone has to have the same opinion about everything all the time. It means that everyone has the same commitment, to seeking the truth and learning the truth while supporting each other in love. That's what being of one mind is. Paul reminded the Romans, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. What a great attitude to have. You know, my attitude should be, I will not be the reason there's a conflict among us. I will not be the reason there's disunity in our circle. So if we're going to put an end to spiritual sabotage, we must not allow the petty conflict to describe who we are. Amen? I mean, I've known churches that they were described by their conflict. I've known families the same way, and businesses and nations. We don't need to do it to ourselves. Here's the second thing. Let's place no limit on the lessons we can learn from each other. In verse 4, Paul reminds the church, he said, "For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings?" Think about this. There was those in the Corinthian church who would say, "I'm of Paul." And they hung on his every word. And there were those who said, "Well, I follow Apollos." And they hung on his every word. And there were those who said, "Well, I'm with Cephas." And they hung on his every word. So when someone from Paul's group was teaching, do you think those in the other groups had any respect for what he said? Do you think they were willing to listen and ready to learn when someone from the other side got up to speak? Probably not. We can see this attitude among different churches today. Think about it. Many Christians allow denominational differences to divide the church of Jesus Christ and drive out the unity that makes the church the church. It's the attitude of, "Well, we're right and they're wrong," that dismisses any lessons to be learned from having a unified presence under the leadership of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are all kind of petty things that can cause disturbances. I've been in churches where there's been a division over various worship leaders, the way they look and the styles of music. And I've heard people from both sides debate, and I've heard people just come right out and say, "Well, I can't worship that kind of music." And I should have said, "Let me run to the microwave right quick and heat your bottle up." You know, we got to get past the idea that those with a different perspective have nothing to offer us in the way of maturing in our faith and in the church of Jesus Christ. We need to get past the idea that God can't use other people and their ideas and their talents and their gifts to help us grow up and become just like Jesus. We need to get past the idea that those who aren't part of our clique are somehow the enemy. You ever noticed after a football game, the players themselves, they come together on the 50-yard line and they hug. Some of them get down and they pray. They see themselves as colleagues and co-laborers. And, you know, if there's a fight, guess where it's going to be? The fans. The very people who made no actual contribution to the outcome of the game. The players themselves are friends, but sometimes the fans just act like enemies. This attitude of us and them doesn't come from an emotional superior or a spiritual superior place. It comes from a place of immaturity, of infancy, of being stunted spiritually. This attitude has no place among those who desire to grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ. So, if we're stunted, is it somebody else's fault? Yeah, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they done. You don't know about what that preacher said. You don't know what kind of music they listen to. I mean, just it's always somebody else's fault in it. Well, Paul, what happens to understand here, it's nobody's fault but our own if we stun it. Because God gives us everything that we need to be what he's called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Good news for the not so good. So let's be willing to listen. You know, if we want to, you know, let's put aside spiritual self-sabotage and let's not exclude others unnecessarily. But let's be willing to at least listen and willing to at least learn a little something together. Brings us through the third thing. Let's remember our place in the process. Church, everything we do is to be about helping people find and follow Jesus. In Jesus' commission, this is what he called us to do. Nothing else is really that important. This is our place in God's work. Paul talks about his work with Apollos. He says that one planted a seed, another watered it. They each did their part, but it was God that caused the growth. Who caused the growth? God caused the growth. Church, we need God to grow us. We don't need to depend on nothing else to grow us other than God. Paul and Cephas and Apollos, they each had their work to do in the kingdom. They each had their role to play. They trusted God to bring everything together, but the results were for the glory of God and not for them. Paul reminds us in verse 9, we're all co-workers in God's service. God's field. God's building. And when you have a building, everybody has a role to play in getting that building up. There's all different kinds of people with all kinds of different gifts to get a building up. But guess what? The building inspector is going to come. Right? Yeah. We've all got a work to do, and God is the building inspector. And we need to grow His church according to His plan. You're God's field. Church, you're God's project. You're a work in progress. Why do I say that? Because I'm not where really I need to be. When it comes to measuring myself up against the Lord Jesus Christ, I fall short. I'm a project in work. Just like Paul told the Philippians, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. We must understand our spiritual growth isn't dependent on Paul or Apollos or this preacher or that preacher. Our level of worship isn't determined by any style or song or singer. It's dependent upon our relationship with God, because God is the one who causes the growth in our lives. And He must be the center of all we do. And when we take our eyes on Him and look towards anything else, a preacher, a teacher, a politician, a pundit, a singer, an author, a denomination, and the list goes on and on and on. When we give any other human being or any other human endeavor God's rightful place in our lives, we're well on the way to sabotage our spiritual growth. We're well on the way to remain stalled and stunted in our infancy. We're well on our way to remain immature and ineffective as a follower and ultimately as a church. And you know what the truth is? The world takes notice. So let's remember our role in this process is to yield ourselves to God and be His field and be His project so that He can nurture us to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Because everything we do is about helping people find and follow Jesus. Church, this means God will send all kinds of people to us. And it's for our good. And we should welcome each one, because God uses people to do His work in our lives and in His kingdom. It's His work for His glory. And for our good. So in conclusion, Paul aims this passage of Scripture at those who are being fed milk because they're not ready for solid food. They're not yet ready because they don't want to be ready. They love being worldly. They love being carnal. They would rather bicker among themselves than experience the fullness of God's blessings in their life and in their community and in their church. They would rather be a part of their little code of personality than participate in the almighty power of God. They'd rather pout when it's not done their own way. And Paul said to them, because of this, you're still infants, and it's by your own choice. So the message to us is clear. Every time we practice pettiness, every time we create a major conflict over a minor matter, we sabotage our opportunity for spiritual growth. Every time we put on airs of elitism, every time we act condescendingly toward those who aren't a part of our clique, we sabotage our opportunity for spiritual growth. And any time we build a spiritual foundation on anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ, we sabotage our opportunity for spiritual growth. Because everything that we're to do is to be about helping people find and follow Jesus. And so today, let me say it this way. I'm saying, let's commit to do away with self-sabotage. And let's fully embrace God's work in our lives. Church, we're God's project, His work in progress. And let us welcome every individual He sends our way to help us grow up to be more like Him. Because when we measure ourselves upside of Jesus Christ, we all have room to grow. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You today for Your word and the message that Paul sent to that church at Corinth. We know it was inspired by You. And there's lessons there for us to learn because we're not infallible either, just like them. I know Your Spirit is speaking to us and moving, and I just pray that we can receive Your word and make application in our daily life and our relationship with You. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's turn to 634 in our hymnals. Stand and sing verses 1 and 2 of More Love to Thee.
Seated just a minute, please. We're going to begin trying to incorporate each Sunday just a moment for the focus on our faith. It's just an opportunity for those of you the Lord's speaking to just to say a few things about what God's doing in your life. I think that's important, that we're able to give testimony to God working in our lives and we're able to share it with one another. That way we can learn how to share it with other people in the world who don't know Jesus. So today Jennifer's just going to share a few minutes, and you can smile, okay? it shouldn't take over an hour, I wouldn't think.
Well, you will smile because it won't take but just a second. So the reason why I'm up here today is just to kind of let you know about our Experiencing God studies that we've done. And last year, this time, I was asked to be on the vision team, and I now know that that was from God to be on that vision team. It had a little bit of everybody, a little bit of every age group in our church, so that we had a job to do for our members to create a vision and a mission statement, right? But that led our group to be able to do the first Experiencing God study. And I truly think that that is one of the most important things that I've been able to ever do in my life. and be a part of. And so fast forward a couple months, we decided that from our group, we would make a new group. And Leanne spearheaded the whole thing. And she was really felt that she wanted to do it. And so I decided that I would help her. And that was an amazing opportunity in itself. I didn't feel like I was really prepared for that, but we did it. And it was amazing. And that facilitating that group of experiencing God, we got together and really close with another group of people in our church. And so that's what we hope to create, is these little groups that we just learn more about Jesus and what Jesus is doing in our life, and gives us that opportunity to speak with other believers and just really find ways to tell other people about Jesus. So the reason I say this is because soon we will have another Experiencing God group, and we're excited about that. And we hope that you maybe were think, well, what is it about? Well, we hope you join it so you can find out what it's all about. But it's all about Jesus. And it's all about connecting with an intimate relationship with Jesus. So Beverly and Melissa are excited to start a new study group. They're going to put up a sign-up sheet for anybody that's interested. We hope that you will just think about it. Maybe the Lord will lay it on your heart to join this group. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. You may be at a different point in your journey. We like to talk about that in our group. We're all at a different point. So you may have walked with the Lord your entire life. You may talk to Him daily. You may not. You may come to church every week, and that's something you do because that's what you've always done. I'm guilty of that. I grew up in church, so, you know, I needed this for myself. I guess I didn't seek out the Experiencing God, but I am so thankful that I was able to do it. So no matter your journey, Experiencing God is an amazing opportunity, and it can be life-changing if you really dig down deep. You can renew your mind if you've walked with Him for many, many years of His truths. It's all there. It's an amazing experience. And I don't call it a study or a course. Sometimes we say study, sometimes we say course, but it's an experience, and it's truly an experience. Or if you're just beginning, He will be right there with you. And I'm thankful that I did it, that He continues to pursue me to do it again. When Leanna and I did it, that was even more special. Thank goodness that He pursues us. We need God to grow us. Everything that Joe said today, I was like, wow. Right on time. And I may not be where I need to be, but thank goodness I'm not where I used to be. Please, if you have a friend, if you even have an inkling that you want to try it, please do. It's an amazing, amazing experience, study, and it truly does get you closer to an intimate relationship with God. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Jennifer. Anybody else have anything to say before we dismiss?
I do. I meant to do this lesson, but I didn't.
I just wanted to share with y'all, when Joe was off on Mother's Day, Chris Singleton came in and brought the message. And his wife, after service was over, we were standing at the door. I was standing at the door with Chris, and his wife came up, her name is Vicky. Vicky walked up and said, "You know, y'all have a happy church." Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, what a nice, nice compliment. So be happy, love somebody, or love a lot of people, but be happy and enjoy that, okay? So keep our reputation going, y'all.
You saying I need to take more time off? That makes them happy. All right, let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the love and the unity that we share here together at Deep Run through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today we want to recommit our faith to you and pray together in unity, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen.